Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. So we created a podcast where we have million-dollar conversations that help small business owners thrive. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Manage Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community in downtown Lindsay, Ontario at 18 Kent Street West. All right, Matt, today we are talking about five strategic decisions you need to make for your business. What are your initial thoughts?
Do you want me to give all five?
Yeah, sure.
No idea.
No idea.
This prepared is also, as per normal.
It's also totally a gimmick because it's like a five this reasons to listen to this, which I thought would be a new way to title some of our podcasts.
Nice.
We can have more than five.
It's the BuzzFeed model. Yeah. Like years ago, I read, and it's probably still the case, that blogs and content with numbers in the headline will get more clicks.
Yeah.
So.
And it really is. And I think we've focused on our own sort of clever ways we do episodes. And as we become the leading authorities on small businesses and small towns, we want to grow ourselves. So it's like, let's start playing around with some names. I probably have more than five, but I was thinking really about just intentional strategic decisions you do need to make for any business that a lot of times people don't make them. So I was like, let's have a conversation about it.
So it's five strategies to...
Or strategic decisions about your business. So a couple ways we can go with this and is thinking about things like, I think we were going to do an episode with like Michael Porter, who's a Harvard professor, has a theory called Porter's Generic Strategies. And in generic strategies, which we've gone through this, you and I have gone through this for your business. I think it's a key moment. Every time I've gone through it with a business, they've learned something and they're like, oh, so you can decide, for example, how you want to compete and be different. You can do it on being differentiation in terms of like I build something, it's high end, and my basis of competition is on being different, or basis of price. Doesn't necessarily mean you're low or cheap, but you're doing it for the other quadrant is you can compete in a wide market or a narrow. So those two strategic decisions themselves about sort of like how you're competing and who your market is make a difference in how you hire people, how you set up your system. And what happens is most businesses end up what we call stuck in the middle, where they're kind of in between and they're doing a mixed bag of stuff and they don't really know. So they're just wasting, you know, resources, time, and it's not really clear what they're doing. So those are the types of strategic decisions where it's like, hey, am I the custom home builder or am I the, you know, maybe quality, but am I building to like a cost? Am I an efficient scheduler? Am I an efficient this?
I have three strategic decisions that I can think of now. I'll say them quickly and then we can come back to them if you want.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the marketing one first. You have to do marketing.
Yeah, to me, that's not even a decision. That's a, you must do it. It's not even a strategic decision. Do I market or do I not?
No, like it has to be done.
Yeah.
Number two would be listen to people about what products and services they need. And then last would be, number three would be, I'm going to say this aggressively on purpose. If you're uncomfortable with selling, don't get into business. Like, just don't.
I love this. So, because some of the ones I sort of identified, those kind of fall in the same types of categories. So one is like, why are you in business? And one of my strategic decisions is, are you a business? Are you a solopreneur? Are you a just professional that makes some money on your own? Like, picking what that is. If you are a business, you are strategically choosing to build a business. So So we've said before, and I stole this from somewhere, it's like, if you choose to be in business, you choose to be in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do that. Otherwise, you might say, and I look at my own self-employment journey up and down, there's times where it's like, well, really, I'm a professional who kind of freelances, I get paid for what I do, but am I really building a business? So it becomes the strategic decision of like, am I building a business?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a business? Is it a hobby? Is it vengeance, right? Like people get into, you know, it's like, I want to show so-and-so a something and I'm going to do it this way. You have to remove that if you are building a business, and then make decisions based on, am I building a business?
Yeah, we should do a whole podcast on you're not a real business if.
Yeah.
Because I swear all the time I text you like, oh, this is not a real business because.
Oh, and I said that. And it's funny because we were talking before. People, some listeners may know McKenna, who does some work with us. And I had like a whole piece that she like accidentally read that she thought was hilarious. Was like, are you a real business or like a hobby business?
Mm-hmm.
And then she like took some of the language from that and put it somewhere that it shouldn't have been for like a different customer. And I was like, I can say that, but I don't think this person's going to be happy if that language is in their material.
Yeah.
You can guess who that might have been. But like, but it's a true like thing. It's like, why are you building a business? And mm-hmm. I know, you know, I've had to make that myself because my business is me as a guide and the big value is me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, am I treating this as building a business or is it me sort of exploring projects and, you know, getting paid money? And it's mm-hmm. technically I'm self-employed. Technically it's a business. And I think I'm in that gap where I've made the decision where, yeah, I do want to build it as a business. But now my strategic decisions are different because I've made that intentional switch from me just exploring things and kind of like freelancing myself out through a company name.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
And like I just had the same conversation with you beforehand. Like, how do I become a real agency?
Yeah, right. Which is, but that's an intentional choice, right? So like I think, again, you're on the way there. Businesses have systems. Businesses do marketing. There's these things that real, quote unquote, real businesses do. And that's not to put down other businesses. I think a lot of small businesses start out as like hobby. You get traction. And then at some point you make that, you know, strategic, intentional decision of, okay, I want to be a business now.
Mm-hmm.
And what type of business? Do I want to be a growing business? Do I want to be a, you know, we recorded one today, a nice little small business. Like we're making that strategic decision. Another one you talked about is sort of like listening about what people want or need. That kind of fits into, you know, you need to strategically decide who your customer is. You need to strategically decide the problem you're solving and strategically decide the solution or solutions that you're creating as solutions specifically to that problem. This sounds easy. It's really hard to do. And I love, as a coach lately, focusing on this. And like, yeah, it sounds easy. But it's not sometimes to strategically decide, yeah, who you're helping and what you're solving.
Yeah, and to better clarify maybe what I was thinking, I think back on one of the few principles I thought about when I started my business, which was like product market fit. I don't throw too many business terms around, but the idea if you are an expert at designing red t-shirts, and no one's buying them because they only want green t-shirts, but you're never going to create a green t-shirt. You're going to go out of business.
Yeah.
You need to listen to them. And like, okay, let's now create green t-shirts. But I almost want to adapt what I was saying a bit more in line with how we normally talk, which is about you need to listen or better figure out what people's problem is and how you can solve it. So, because at the same time, people are going to maybe, I've probably said this on the podcast, like I don't love, from an agency perspective, doing social media posts. But there's a time and a place for it. Like, it's very important in a lot of cases as part of the strategy. But that's not to say I'm never going to do it. If people came to me and they needed it, I will not say no, but the first thing I ask is kind of like, why?
Yeah.
Why do you want to do social media posts? Well, I need to get found. And then I'm like, well, that's actually what we need to solve. And I've tried to put it, maybe that's the benefit of working with me or whatever. I'm actually going to have that conversation of like, well, why do you think that you need to be found online? Why do you want to do social media posts? And there's like a handful of answers for all that I've heard. They're always the same. But then it's up to me to now figure out like, what's the actual problem that I'm helping these people solve and put them on a proper path. I think that's what people need to figure out a lot more is again, what is the problem that this person has and how can I fix it?
And that's the sort of, I love this because strategic decisions, and then you use the term fit, they have all the fancy like, oh, product market fit.
Yeah.
But I, you know, when I teach global business strategies, and then I bring it into every other class, like the magic word is fit.
Mm.
And the thing with like the generic strategies, which we talked about, if you're doing something that doesn't fit with that, that's where there's like conflict. It's sure. almost like a rattle in your engine and you're just constantly trying to get rid of those rattles so that you can go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, yeah, is the thing you want to do fit with what's needed? And when it's not working, sometimes it's a marketing problem and people just don't know, or it's nobody wants it, or it's not solving that problem. So having someone who's going to identify, yeah, why are you doing this? Or why do you want social? Well, does it fit with your audience that you want? Does it fit with the idea of like getting people to know what the problem is you solve to that audience? So sometimes it's fit of like, where is that audience? You know, if I'm trying to sell something, and I've seen this before where people are like, well, I do social media, but, you know, none of my customers are actually on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, A, should we test if that's true? Sometimes it's, they're just
not. I'll disagree with everyone that says that, but yeah.
Or if it's legit true, then yeah, maybe you don't need to be there yet and we need to focus on something else. And that's part of knowing who is our customer and where are we? Because we can't do all things, we have to make strategic decisions about that.
Yeah, it's all about resources and figuring out like what is the actual, I don't want to say ROI, but like bang for your buck.
Yeah, it is.
Because I'm like figuring out like what are we actually going to do that's going to have the biggest return or tangible benefit to us. So,
yeah, and it's like, where are you working? And then the other thing is like, you know, picking that problem that you solve. And I think so many businesses are afraid to do that and be known as the person that fixes X problem. They try to expand it too much, or they're afraid they're going to lose. You know, it's like something they do. It's like, well, if I don't say it, I might lose some business for it. But the more specific you are, it like works every time. Because even people who aren't quite that, they might be like, oh, well, I know you say you do this, but do you also do this?
Mm-hmm.
It's like being like, hey, I'm the deck expert and I only build decks.
Mm-hmm.
Someone might phone and be like, well, I know you say you just do decks. Do you also do this other thing that's kind of similar? You're like, oh, yeah, I'll do that for you. But I'm going to strategically put my marketing resources and efforts into being known for decks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm SEO guy or whatever, and I had hundreds of service pages for all these different services on my old site like a year ago. And then I realized, yeah, they need to be there-ish, but for the amount of actual time and energy that we're putting into people even looking and getting there, what's the point?
Yeah.
Scaled down that website quite a bit, went a different direction SEO-wise, but now like the services, like there used to be 20 or 30 pages, now there's like five.
Yeah.
That's all I need. Right. And like, cause I realize also from a marketing perspective, as much as like, can I help you rename your business? Yeah, I can do that. I have a tool to do that type of thing and the ability to do it. No one's really actually searching for that. Right. They're just like, okay, this guy does marketing. Maybe he can help me. So I need to get that.
Yeah. Across. You're still going to get people ask you those things or they're still going to like, they will see you as an authority for getting found. And then you might add something else, or you refer them to the person who is the best person at that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in the story brand guide community. You know, there's someone who has a naming service.
Mm.
And I think it's like $5,000 to $10,000 American, depending what you're doing, which, you know, for someone thinking about starting a business seems like a crazy price tag, but they're the specialist for a certain type of business with a certain type of decision making, and they do a great job of helping people with that big strategic decision. But that starts with, like, you know, if I want to be a $1 million business, spending $5,000 and to properly figure out a name is probably a good idea.
Yeah, if you want to scale that business and not have to go through
rebrand and clear names versus like, hey, I came up with this name for a business, that's pretty cool. And then they got to come to you to say, like, all right, Matt, what I really am is this.
Yeah.
But my kid came, said this cute thing, so we made a business name around it. I need you to help train everyone that, you know, flower designs really is actually a food delivery business, right? Like, those things happen often. And again, if it's a hobby business, maybe not a big deal. But you got to make these strategic decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the last one I had? Oh, yeah, I thought this one was good. Where if you are uncomfortable selling, you should stop being in business. And it's, I don't know why I take this one personally, but it kind of drives me nuts. And you hear this a lot in conversation, like, I'm really uncomfortable putting myself out there, or I'm really uncomfortable like asking for money, or I'm really uncomfortable like making the sale. And I'm like, then it's just stop.
that's the whole point of what I'm trying to do here. That's maybe a whole other conversation, because I think it's common.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people just have, it's an internal confidence issue. So really it comes down to, you're probably not clear on what the problem you solve is. You're probably not clear on your ability to solve that problem.
True.
You're not quite sure who your customer is. You haven't made that decision maybe to be a business yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about before, and this is a story brand thing as well. If you have a solution to a problem, you have an obligation to tell people about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like, oh, I hate selling, it's like, you actually have an obligation to, like, if you can solve that and they actually have the problem, an obligation to tell them, and have people might accept it or reject it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've, in my own mind, have adapted that a little bit, whereas there's certain things where now I'm like, okay, I know I could solve that for you. I'm at least going to make you say no. And that's fine. You might say no now and come back later.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, actually, I do need that thing you talked about.
Because they can't say yes unless you ask.
But it's not selling. But, like, I am the worst. I always say I'm like the worst salesperson. If I have to sell somebody something that I don't want to sell them, I don't think it's a fit. But at the end of the day, I almost always get every sale I want in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But that sometimes means you need to put in a bit more work to, like, identify the problem or have a solution that fits. So I think if you're pressured to be like, okay, Matt, go, you know, sell this pen to the next person you see walking down the street, that sucks, and that's hard, and people are afraid of selling. But if you've made a strategic choice to build a business that actually solves a problem, and you can do that, like, you have an obligation to, like, do that. And I can, you know, as a business coach, I could teach people some frameworks that help them with that. But you have to, like, do that.
That Wolf of Wall Street clip that I think I sent you recently, and it's actually a story brain clip.
Yeah.
Where you've got Leonardo DiCaprio's character there at the big sales conference at the end, and he's like, sell me this pen. And then the guy replies, like, classic marketer. He's like, well, this is a very nice pen.
Yeah, here's our features and here's the benefits.
Yeah, you can write really well with this pen. And you're like, okay, whatever, that's kind of funny. And then they go to the expert salesperson and he's like, okay, sell me this pen. And this is like Leonardo DiCaprio's, like, buddy. And Leonardo DiCaprio's buddy, like, comes up with a problem.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I want you to, like, sign this for me. And Leo's like, well, I don't have a penny.
Yeah.
Like, this is story brand though. Yeah. Like, oh, like, it's creating a problem, or not creating a problem, but like addressing, like, we have a problem,
yeah,
and here is the solution, and I've got that solution. You're not selling, like, you're helping people in that way, right? It's old school marketing that's the trash, garbage way of doing it, where it's like, oh, it's a very nice pen, it's very shiny, it's just like literally every other pen in the entire world, right? So
yeah, and it's really making those strategic decisions that fit with that. Like, are you doing that? Are you selling pens? Like, what are you selling? And that's where I think some people get into business because they're like, well, I just want to do this and it will just be great if people just buy it from me and I don't have to talk to people. But it's then like, again, that's maybe not a business, or that's a hobby, or it's a place to start. And everyone's on a different journey. But like, once you make that strategic decision to be in a business, like, you have to sell and you have to do marketing. And marketing and sales are different things.
Yeah. And I always think about like the amount of people that are in business because they frankly have maybe inherited it. Something,
yeah.
Maybe they have a passion, maybe they've lost their job and they've been like thrust into this situation. Like, we don't actually know why they've become business owners, but that could be why they're uncomfortable with that sale.
I think the other thing, this is kind of bridges to something that I've learned and I think I'm good at and I'm positioning my business at, is helping people build their business. Because people might get thrust in and they're like, well, this is how you run a business. Or they're like, well, I worked at this business and that's how they did things, so now I need to do that to my business. And that lack of fit starts creating chaos and conflict or friction.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's no real business rules. There's some frameworks and guidelines. And then there's some, obviously, like some ethical rules, or depending where you are, there might be some licensing. But there's really no rules of here's exactly how you must run this business.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find what fits for you and your personality and what you want to do. So that's a strategic decision as well. It's mm-hmm. like not just falling into a business and then kind of complaining about all of these things. Or like, well, I got to do this. And it's like, well, do you have to do that? Like,
mm-hmm.
it's your business. Like,
yeah.
If you are aligned with like what you want to do, the customer, the problem, like how you go about doing that, there's a lot of different right ways to do it.
That's, I think, the thing I'm most sympathetic about for business owners is like, none of us really know what we're doing.
Yeah, no, like
none of us, like, and if we went to business school, I don't know if it
business school doesn't. I teach at business school, and every successful business owner I've met, almost all of them, are like, well, I didn't go to business school. It's like, well, I teach in business school, and I'm not going to say anything bad about it, but like, it was great for me to learn how to. I think I was better at being a banker because I went there, and you learn, I guess, some like foundational things that you can apply to different businesses. But if you want to run your business, like, I will say almost all day long, I am a better investment. Like, hire me as a coach and I will teach you probably everything you need to know about running your business, sort of curated from all the business school content than like going to a business school. Like,
mm-hmm.
a lot of graduates who do really well, I teach at the college level, which I think is better for younger people who might want to be in their own business someday. You know, university level, it's just, it's a bit different, similar content, but a lot of people end up working in government from there, or everything's a business. So we need people who have done that. But really, it's about finding the tools that fit for your business. And you can learn about 10 of them and pick one, or you can maybe find a coach that helps you identify two to look at and then pick the one that works best for you.
Yeah, general business coach, and then I don't know what your other main type of coach would be, but what other coaches would you recommend?
I think to me, like, over time we need different guides, different coaches. Mm-hmm. I think there's you know, I'm a different coach than others. I think I work well with systems people. because they are already thinking in systems, and sometimes they get frustrated because I don't just give them the right system, but I might help them think in the right ways to find the system that works for them. Mm-hmm. And then I know some coaches who are really good implementer system people for like scattered people who don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just not their thing at mm-hmm. all. I think if you want to, there's also like a skills coach. So if you're like, hey, I want to be a great marketer, mm-hmm. you might need a marketing coach that helps you do that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, some people have a sales coach because they just want to focus and be the best at sales.
Yeah.
It's really like, you know, anything in life, there's different coaches for different times. I think there's different stages of business. Like some people are really great with startups. Mm-hmm. Some are great with growth. Some are great with like exponential growth. Mm-hmm. So, over the course of time, it's like almost everyone you see who's really successful in business has probably had different coaches. Sometimes they're lifelong sort of coaches. Sometimes they're like in and out for periods of time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just like, hey, I did this 90-day coaching program with this specialist in something, mm-hmm. right? So that's a hard thing to do, to know exactly what you need at the right time.
You need like a coach to guide you on what coaches you need.
Yeah, and that can be a coach
yeah.
too sometimes, right? Or that's the like, the somebody who's going to direct you to where you need to go.
That's a business. It's Coach's Corner.
Yeah,
you come in, do an evaluation, they guide you to who's the perfect coach for you.
Yeah, and I think what happens is you just get some coaches who are good connectors. Or you, it's again why, like, I talk about Dan Sullivan and Strategic Coach a lot. They're like, they just focus on entrepreneurs and their thinking, and they have a very set type program. But within that, all sorts of people network. And they like refer to others. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there's some coaching programs, they're like the biggest referrer into them, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't see it as a competitive situation. I think the same for me. Like, I like to say I'm not the coach for everyone all the time.
Sure.
But it's like you could be the gateway to something specific.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
Awesome. That's a great thing. You know, we talked about more than five. But I think it's
there's no way we can summarize what
we're not summarizing them. We're talking about intentional strategic decisions. What's the thing you want people to know about you, and where can they find you?
I want people to know that not enough people know that their business exists, especially as the demographics of Lindsay and Kawartha Lakes are changing. Less and less people of Lindsay and Kawartha Lakes know that their business exists. I can help them get found on Google in less than 60 days. Just by going to my website and booking a call at mattygdigital.com.
Awesome. And I am the business coach and teacher that helps your business get money with grants, increase sales, and streamlining your business for revenue or profit. Find me at profitcoach.ca. Matt and I collaborate to help you launch, grow, or recharge your business, and we want to work with you. If you want to discuss working together with us or be a guest on the podcast, send us an email to setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca. And remember, we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses.